Good evening. You're listening to Pushing Boundaries with T and A.
I'm A.
So I left you hanging. You're like, I'm the A that comes after the T and A.
Exactly.
Well, tonight is a hashtag trending episode.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of interesting news happening. Yeah. Busy. But yeah. A, you, well, speaking of groundbreaking news.
Right. Well, we're
attended. Oh.
No, yeah, I did, but I just went. So we're going to talk about a new movie coming out called Monogamish.
Yeah, Monogamish.
Monogamish. Well, which we relate to here.
By this is Dao Ruspoli.
Yes. And then we're going to talk about what's going on with the Purvi Patel case, which is this young woman who's charged with feticide.
I
wonder what that would be. Feticide.
She killed her baby.
That's
not true.
We'll get to that.
Well, no, I said it wrong, but that's what feticide implies.
Right. Okay.
We don't know.
So we'll get
to
that.
The trial.
Indiana's just a black hole that's falling apart.
Well,
apparently,
gay marriage situation going on there.
Right, and then a new poll came out about the millennials and their relationship to sex
and contraception.
And so we'll touch on that and let you know what the millennials think, which is our generation.
Yeah. Has it gotten any better?
Yeah.
Since the 20s.
Okay. But there are some surprising viewpoints that came out from that. So anyway, so we'll touch on all those things. First would be my news. What happened over the week? So I went to a sex party.
Meow.
Yes. And this is something that, you know, I've kind of been, like, I've been to a couple, you know, swinging and that whole thing has typically not been something I gravitate toward. Only because I rarely find people that I really want to, you know, have a group dynamic with. It's usually, I feel like I'm doing favors by interacting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, well,
I feel like it's not my cup of tea because of that.
Well, yeah, but you get a little jealous too, right? With threesomes?
Did I say that?
Once at one point. Okay, so it's not your cup of tea.
Oh, sure, yeah. I don't like, I like to be doted on sexually, so if I'm, I prefer maybe like two men, because then it's about
me. Right. I meant like a threesome with another one. Right.
Sure.
So this is something I have been playing around with a bit, but, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, it's been like a year or more since I've done anything like that. Maybe things will be different. I'm just curious, right?
Yeah. I would have loved to have joined. I was out of town.
Well, it was a really cool mansion party. And my friend is a veteran in the swinging, you know, lifestyle kind of area. So I went with him and a friend of mine who is interested also in seeing what this is all about, but literally has no introduction whatsoever, has never had a threesome, you know, nothing. So it was
classic relationship,
right?
Heteronormative,
exactly. Yes, but very sexual and curious about you know what this kind of thing. So
nice.
Here we go. We go. The venue was amazing. I have to say, like we got there, we were an hour late, but you know nobody was there. So we're wandering around, and I'm looking at all these amazing places to play. They had like a trampoline and these beds outside and a pool and a jacuzzi.
I had
like
sex on a trampoline once. It's really fun.
Oh, that would be so fun. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Although you can kind of get brush burn, you know, you get a little brush burn when you're eager.
I can totally imagine. But there were all these really cool places and I was like, wow, fun. Okay, I can't wait to like get going. You know, I hope I meet some cool people. I happened to be quite randy, so I was getting really, I was really looking forward to, like, what was going to happen for the night. But, you know, it ended up being kind of an awkward night. It was everyone kind of knew each other. And,
what? How did everyone know each other?
I guess the lifestyle, but, like, I just felt like it was really hard to in and start conversation and nobody would come up to
you. Yeah,
you
weren't part of the club.
Right, and I'm like oh, geez. Okay. Yeah, I felt like the loser kid. I felt like I was back in high school, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to go crawl into the corner. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
You're already nervous, you know? So it's always like, you know, hey, how,
yeah, you're naked.
How are you doing?
Are
no,
you naked at
no,
this
no,
point?
No. Oh, no. It's
well,
just
so
like
my
a
experience,
party.
I've attended naked parties, which they don't imply sex, you know, they don't mean that to actually engage in sex. Of course, people hooked up, but it felt like a normal party. And just like you're saying, it's amazing how much it comes back to just normal socializing dynamics. You know, the rules are not different.
Right, exactly. Even if you're naked. And I told myself, I'm like, okay, just pretend like it's a normal party. Yeah. Like,
people aren't warmer because of it.
Forget that objective in your mind about, you know, yeah, like, who are you going to be rolling around the floor with or the bed with, you know, in the next hour. Like, don't think about that stuff. Just be in the whatever.
Have a cocktail. Hang out. Try to connect.
Make friends, you know.
Anyway, have a chat.
There were really attractive people there, which is something, which is new for me, because these venues I'd been to before were, you know, I wasn't really that, like, attractive. Physically attracted. But so there's one thing. I'm like, okay, well, this is, you know, interesting. Not that it's the only thing that matters, but, you know, it makes it fun. Anyway, so it took forever for the party to actually get going and for the ice
Maybe
to be broken.
Was a little
and
intimidated.
I don't know. And so finally, you know, I go into a room and there's like, you know, 20 people at it. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, my friend is finally getting to see some action. She was like, I feel so bad, like, taking her to this like new thing and like nothing was going on. I'm like, I'm really sorry. It's usually not like this. But anyway, so I ended up connecting with an older Silver Fox kind of guy and his wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I had seen him earlier. I don't know why I always go for the older men. I don't know what the hell this is about.
Well.
But anyway, so I ended up connecting with them. And then all of a sudden, we're there in our, like, on the bed in our in this little room. And then, like, people start coming, like, people that I've never seen, but whatever, people that I had no conversation with or anything, just random people would come up and start joining.
Like adding a hand to the mix?
Totally. They would just come up naked and start joining in. And I'm like...
In a good way?
Well, I mean, in my mind, I'm like, well, wait a minute.
I
only
didn't give them permission.
I didn't not give them permission. Like, it's... They were more interacting with the other people. I kind of stayed clear because I didn't want to, like, be handed around to 20 different people. But I was just like, man, I was really enjoying my threesome. Like, I don't want, like, 20 people there. It's not an invitation for 20 people to come in and play with my threesome. But I don't know. I'm still new at this sex party thing. So maybe
there are private quarters you could have.
Exactly. If you don't want to share or like have people come in, maybe there's you need
it's
to like, go somewhere else.
It's interesting that they didn't ask, though. I feel like I've, you know, talked to a lot of people who have done, you know, done sex parties. It seems like there is sort of a
there generally is
permission.
You usually ask, and they may have. I just may not have. Maybe they ask someone else
involved in bliss, and they, you know, and the man's like, oh yeah, the more the merrier.
No, there was a lot of asking, like, hey, is this okay? Is this okay? Or
well, that's
like,
nice.
For the people that I was involved with.
Yeah.
But,
so
anyway,
did your novice friend get involved?
She didn't. And so here's the thing. So once I started going, and I cleared with her before, I'm like, you know, if I get going with things, are you going to be okay? Yeah, she's fine. So when I vaguely remember being on the bed and like out of the corner of my eye are my two friends watching me, which I'm like, okay, in my mind, I'm like, this is slightly awkward. Neither of them have seen me naked ever. And here I am naked on bed with two people, like a man and a woman hovering
having
around
sex.
Me. Exactly. And I'm
a
like,
whole new boundary.
I know, but it was fine.
Good. Were you able, and you were able to surpass that, and they stayed and watched? That's funny that they didn't sort
they
of
did
give
stay
you
and
privacy.
Watch. Yeah, I know. It's like, hey.
They're like, cool, you're going to go in? Can't wait to see this. We're going to stay on the sidelines.
You know,
we'll be here.
Exactly. But, you know,
let me know if we can get you water.
But I'm like, I felt like I was doing my friend a favor. I'm like, okay, you know, it's someone that
By
she
being
knows.
Being courageous.
Yeah, and it's someone that she, it's not just a stranger stepping into this new situation. It's someone she knows, so it's just a degree closer, you know? So, yeah.
That's cool.
I felt like I was doing a service
I look forward
for
to going to the next one with you.
If I go to one, to be honest, it's really...
Because it was,
like,
a dabble, but it's not your
it's
passion.
It's really not my thing, and I kind of... Yeah, I mean, I've been, yeah, consistently. Every single time I, you know, get the interest enough to go to something like this, I always leave like, oh, well, that's it, you know?
Huh,
like,
maybe,
for the first 3 minutes.
Maybe we need to alter the expectations.
Maybe, but to be honest, I'm not sexually driven in that way. I'm a very sexual and sensual person. But
with a stronger connection to an individual.
Yes, like, exactly. Like, if it was a threesome or a group dynamic of people that I know and like, and it
right.
was more
well. And I find for
way,
me,
maybe?
Sexuality is such a an important thing of sharing and connecting and emotional discovery
right.
with each other.
Right.
So, yeah, like that's what I look for anyway.
Exactly.
And so
yeah.
that doesn't mean I can meet someone in a night and have so much excitement for them and have such a strong connection that sex does happen or, you know, is desired. within that night. But yeah, I find it hard to just sort of eye someone and say, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was kind of the whole thing. And
although I've had fantasies, like sometimes I'll fantasize about it.
Like if I'm on the dance floor with someone and we're really connecting and then you just want to go somewhere and, you know, fucking have sex.
Well, but I mean not actually doing it. I mean more like if I'm masturbating or maybe even thinking about, or if I'm even with a lover, like this, like envisioning this idea of fucking someone anonymously.
You're right, I fantasize about that too. But the reality is just so much more boring.
Yeah. I like the imagining it. A friend told me about a sex party place in New Orleans that has a room where everyone can watch. Like, so people can go into a central room and there's one-way mirror glass. So they see themselves in the mirror, but they also have this knowledge that people are watching them.
That would be fun.
I thought that was pretty fun. I thought that really plays with the idea of fantasy.
Yes.
You know, really using your imagination, you know, and titillating that part.
That I'd be much more into.
Yeah, but I was kind of intrigued, I have to say.
Yeah, and after 3 minutes of this, I was like, really, I'm bored. I just kind of want to leave. But I didn't know how to extricate myself from this, like, body, this mess of bodies.
All right, so anyway. But good for you. Can I say, I'll quickly just voice something that, for me, like, this week, I found myself, and I've been thinking a lot about this, as a woman, I was in a situation where I was, you know, excited about a man, and I wanted to assert that, but I was like waiting for him to ultimately make the initial move.
Oh, yeah, and which is natural.
Yeah, it is. But I just think about how timid I am, and there definitely are women who can that are more forward. And I sometimes feel like there's a deficiency as a woman, like I'm waiting for the guy to be the aggressor.
But you know what? But I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I get women being assertive and making yourself known.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like, I sort it's of set a stage like to let him make a move.
Right. So, okay. So actually, this is funny. I just read an article by someone, and it was an older article from New York Magazine about referring to some of the studies done around sexuality and how they look at the rats. And the rats.
The flirtation.
Yes. The flirtation in the animal kingdom, even with, you know, the rhesus monkeys and everything, the women will like poke and prod and like
try and
get them to engage, but ultimately it's the men who come and engage in
right. So maybe there population. Is something natural about it.
That's
and
what
it's
I'm
not
saying.
To say that it's not natural if you do it the other way, but
true. But I'm just you're not there, I don't think there's anything
yeah all right
wrong
well
with you.
But I feel like it was like a missed opportunity round two. I had this missed opportunity once where I'd gone over to a man's house really late. I thought, clearly I'm indicating, you know, and then we're sitting across from each other on a sofa.
Wait, are you saying that going to his house late is clearly an indication?
Yes. Out of the blue, a text message that says, hey, I'm coming over.
Wait, you said that to him?
Yeah. I said, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, he said, oh, I'm over at a friend's or whatever. And I said, great, let's hang out or, like, let's get together. And then he said, well, at my place or my friend's, you know? And I said, whatever.
Well, wait a minute. Whatever implies.
Well, he said, okay, meet me at mine. Okay. So I showed up. And again, I was sort of waiting for a little signal, like a little bit of a longer hug.
Well,
you
maybe
know, a lingering
he was waiting
hug.
For you to get a
Come
signal
on.
Of whether
Where
it was
the
friendship or not.
The lingering hug. I was trying to read signals.
But were you giving any?
I mean, what was I going to do? Just go sit on his lap?
No, but
I didn't
you
have the
give
courage
him
to do
a lingering,
that.
A
I was about
hug.
To give him a lingering hug when he pulled away.
Well,
ultimately,
there's your sign.
No, well, I thought it was, which is why I didn't make a move. And then sure enough, he said he didn't feel I gave a clear signal and he was timid as well. So we were both timid.
I even think when he said, I'm at my friend's house or at mine and you say whatever.
He would have, that could have been a clear signal.
That to me is a sign of, oh, whatever. It's just
right,
casual.
Right, too casual.
Yeah.
All right, fine. But this second situation reminded me of it felt like deja vu, and I thought, my God, just do something bold, you
Woman.
Know? Yes, exactly. Just do something like that sends a clear message besides, you know,
you?
Googly eyes.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have the courage, and I'm ashamed, you know, and I don't know how to, you know, I think it's just practice. It's exercising that
it
muscle,
is.
You know, and really pushing yourself to say, hey, I'm going to put myself out there.
All right,
if I'm
well,
rejected.
You have homework.
Yeah,
you
I do. I do. But I feel like that's, you know, men maybe are more accustomed to like, hey, I got rejected. All right, moving on.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but as a woman, I was like, oh, I can't be rejected. Working on it. I think it's an interesting.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, discrepancy I'd like to remedy. So, current events.
There's a so this well everything that we've just talked about. There's a movie coming out. They're expecting release to be September of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Monogamish,
right?
And it's a documentary. At first, I thought it was a narrative, but it's a documentary featuring all of the greatest people that we totally love. Daniel Bergner. Or wait, no, I'm not sure if Daniel Bergner is in it.
Dan Savage.
Dan Savage and Esther. Is it Patel? The Mating in Captivity woman.
Oh.
And, oh, God, there's so many.
Now we're so bad with our names, we should have them listed. But the book we always, Sex at Dawn, the author
Sex at Dawn, Chris Ryan.
Thank you, he's involved.
Right.
All these great sex experts who are doing tons of research and even collating information, and they do this such a great exploration of it. And it's through the voice of Tao Ruspoli, Italian, but he is gone on this venture to create the documentary based on his experience with his own divorce and how painful it was and that process.
Right.
And, you know, researching what does it mean to be monogamous? What does it mean to commit? And why are we doing it? And, you know, and he's super thorough and he interviews, you know, his
really
past
well
partners
done.
And his, you know, relationships and his exes and his family and then experts and philosophers and really just beautiful surround, you know, full effect.
You know what? I liked what he said. They have a Kickstarter campaign. You can check out the movie at monogamish.us. And there's a link to their Kickstarter there. There's a trailer and whatnot. But what I loved was that they said, this isn't a movie about monogamy versus non-monogamy and saying which is better than the other. It's simply an exploration into love and how we love and how that takes a place in our lives and what kind of role it takes in our lives and really evaluating exactly what we do here on the show, really evaluating the societal constraints, the societal boundaries,
the expectations,
the beliefs, everything around
and,
love and connecting.
And is it serving us?
Exactly. And so it's an exploration. That's all it is. And it's important. I mean, how we love it. So I think it's probably pretty central to everybody's lives.
Yeah, there was some pretty profound, some profound moments in the trailer as well that I really liked. But you can check it out, and there's a Kickstarter campaign still going on. So
there is. They're doing it in phases, and they're actually. It seems like everybody is giving a really great response. So, I think they just finished a Kickstarter campaign, and they're starting another one.
Yeah,
but anyway, it looks going really well.
Yeah, and exciting.
Yeah. We need to take a break.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Pushing Boundaries with TNA. Tweet us at TA Sex Talk. Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. Good evening. You're listening to Pushing Boundaries with TNA. I'm T.
And I'm A.
And we are talking about trending topics after a little sex conversation, you know, personal life stuff.
Personal life stuff, talking about monogamy and sex partying it up. And we just mentioned the Monogamish film coming out. Check it out at monogamish.us. It's a documentary. And we're moving on to heavy stuff. Purvi Patel. It's a crazy case that's been going on. It's in Indiana. And Purvi Patel, it's a 33-year-old woman who is Indian, East Indian. Mm-hmm. And her family is Hindi. And so this is the case that's out there.
She showed up at the hospital bleeding profusely, had given birth and admitted finally that she had put the baby, the stillborn, into the dumpster. But
granted, they think that she was about 24 weeks pregnant, so about 6 months.
Right. And so then there was debate about her having researched, wanting to abort it. And then, but then they ran tests, you know, toxicology reports that said there was no, you know, chemicals in her body, that indeed maybe she did just abort. It seems like it was a stillborn according to the tests.
Right. So the controversial thing here is that she was charged with murder and feticide.
Right.
And this is the first case in the U.S. where someone has been tried and convicted for feticide, and she's getting 20 years in prison.
Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Is all I have to say.
Yeah, and, you know, the article that I read really was driving home this idea of, you know, rather than providing the kind of emotional support and therapy and treatment that she would need dealing with something so traumatic, especially showing up at a hospital for help and then being arrested for this. Now being convicted as a felon.
Exactly.
It's really heartbreaking.
I mean, imagine if you're in her position where you've got, you know, you come from a family that has certain beliefs and...
Well, condemns premarital sex.
Sorry, yes, condemns premarital sex. She has an affair with a coworker, you know, gets pregnant. And I don't know if her family knew. I don't know if she was hiding her... I don't know about that, but... In the article, it was basically saying that she had miscarried and didn't want her family, like, freaked out because she doesn't know what
Panic.
To do. Right. Can't go to her family, can't, you know, go the normal routes. And so it just comes out and she puts it in a dumpster because she doesn't know what.
Because it was already dead, according to her.
According to her, she thought it was already dead. I mean, she was miscarrying. But then I guess... the prosecution or somebody was saying that she was alive for a few seconds or minutes beforehand. And so they're charging her basically with neglect of a fetus and like doing an action that caused the death of her fetus.
Right. And it's...
And that's
the feticide. It's just so miserable. It's just an indicator and a symbol of how poor any sort of sex education is in this country, maybe even access or acceptance of contraception. And then also the article talks about East Asian culture, like having the highest suicide rate in America, like the issues of class and ethnicity affecting, you know, her access to this kind of information. That playing a big part of it, and especially that culture being very anti- whatever, I mean, pregnancy and sex, you know, for women, like freedom of sex without marriage, that kind of thing.
Well, it's certainly not going to, it's just so ridiculous. It is certainly not going to encourage any more women out there who are in trouble to seek help.
Right, so it's to just show up creating, at the hospital if you're bleeding profusely.
Just, right, or if you've gotten pregnant, what do you do? Because, you know what I mean? It's like, it's basically sending the signal that you're not supported.
Right.
Right. And so what else, I mean, well, where can you go?
There's we could say this. I mean, I think one of the biggest issues is choosing to put this fetus into a dumpster, which is maybe a sensitive choice subject, you know, and
yes, but
in my eyes, she's coming from a place of fear.
She's coming from a place of fear. And oh my God, I need to hide this. Like, I can't let anybody see that this just happened.
Especially
because I'm going
to
get thrown out of my
child.
Family.
I mean, I can't imagine being in that poor girl's shoes. I guess for me, it's like, who knows the details of this specific case, but it is an indicator of some serious,
you know what,
access to information and sex education in our country.
Well, and an agenda. I feel like there's some kind of agenda going on. And
right.
And because...
anti-abortion laws.
Well, yes.
And it opens up that gate again.
And actually on NBC, oh my gosh, I forgot her name. The woman who tried, she defended... in Roe v. Wade, she won Roe v. Wade, and it was a female lawyer. Oh my God, I can't remember her name.
Okay.
She was talking about just that she said what they're going to do is, since they can't completely get rid of abortion laws, they're just going to make it increasingly more difficult for you to get any kind of service or any kind of aid or any kind of help, just to keep constricting. And this case is huge for that.
Well, and interestingly, maybe that's why it's trending so much, and kind of in a scary way. It's like, why
Super
is this
scary.
Specific little story making such, you know, national groundbreaking news. I mean,
it's
babies
massive.
Die
well,
all the time.
It's
I don't, you know, I don't
it's
know how to, like,
precedent.
That sounds terrible
it's
to say.
Setting
but
a precedent, but, you know, the same thing with, like,
putting a focal point on this specific situation.
Well, because
seems
it's
really
totally
unfair.
Setting a precedent. It's like Roe v. Wade. It's one of those cases that, you know, how many women down in the future are going to, you know, be able to be prosecuted based on this one case?
Right.
And it's like...
Which reminds me of the situation that's also trending in Indiana. It's mm-hmm. a hot state right now. This situation with the gay marriage. Well, there's a law about the Religious Freedom Act and the right to deny certain customer service. Mm-hmm. And you know, specifically targeting gay people and saying, you know, no thank you to or denying them services. The article I read in The Atlantic, which was really interesting because it was kind of hitting on this idea of people who are boycotting it currently, which, while seemingly noble, is neglecting the fact that is neglecting the fact that there are still a lot of states that have not even legalized gay marriage. Mm-hmm. But in Indiana, gay marriage is legal, but mm-hmm. now you've got this sort of smaller law that allows a loophole or a way to combat it. And
right,
I think you just hit on a really good point with the Purvi Patel case about not banning it, but really creating a chokehold.
Making it really uncomfortable. Like, yeah, you can get married if you're gay, but you know what? You might not get service if you come and try to get cupcakes from us. Or we're just
right.
going to shame you and publicly humiliate you.
Yeah, be
but
completely
that's okay.
marginalized.
Go ahead and get married.
Yeah, right, right. Marginalized and like
what the fuck?
Harassed.
You know what? I cannot believe that this is happening in the U.S. When I read both of these cases, I'm like, wait a minute. What? Like, I can imagine somebody going away for murder for 20 years, like in like some remote third world country where women have no rights and something like that in the freaking USA.
Yeah, but
oh my god.
There, I mean, the whole protesting of abortion clinics, all of that. I mean, it's still very much alive, depending on where you go.
We should be protesting the hell out of this. Let's start. Let's start it. T, let's do it.
Well, let's get a change.org. You know, campaign going. But
anyway, that's
yeah. It. Well, I liked the Atlantic article though about the misdirected zeal of same-sex marriage converts, and it's sort of hitting on this issue of, you know, I don't know, larger icons, you know, saying, hey, we're not going to perform in Indiana because, you know, you're doing this, or Hillary Clinton condemning it.
Yeah.
But in reality, like, everyone's still going to perform in Texas, or still going to all these states that have, you know, banned gay marriage. You know, if you're going to protest that, you've got to maybe protest at all.
Yeah, that's true.
It's tough. But I like what you're saying about this banning issue and really finding loopholes to block and kind of filibuster, you know,
we're setting
the real
we're
freedom.
Screwing ourselves for down the road. This is just not going to end good. So moving, I wanted to touch base on the millennials before we were running out of time.
Well, I like the millennials topic because it ties with the Purvi Patel case, which is this access to contraception.
Right. So there was a survey
done.
And
open communication about sex education. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying to fill everyone in, there was a survey done that recently came out that polled about 2,300 millennials, which is 18 to 35. And the consensus was that they were... they exist more in the grayscale than black and white when it comes to sexuality.
Right. That they do believe contraception should be accessible. They also polled like Catholics, and that they actually have really shifted their mindset as well and believe that contraception is okay.
Right.
Like a large percentage. I think it's like 70%, something in this range. Something stood out to me in the article, mm-hmm. which, you know, referenced how they also agree that women should have access to contraception because it does allow for financial success, greater financial success in their lives, in the sense that if you give birth, it's going mm-hmm. to slow you down economically and create a greater gap.
A
burden between you and your male counterparts in the workplace, like all of this. I mean, and early pregnancy, this kind of thing, like in your youth.
Right.
And of course, I agree with that. That is true in our current society. But something kind of buzzed in me and I thought, why does it have to be this way for women? Like, why can't they have a baby and still thrive in our society?
That is a good point.
And I thought...
That is a damn fine point, T.
Right, thank you. And I thought, right, like in this sort of, if we want to use, you know, patriarchy or male-dominated society, we need to prevent pregnancy in order to be equals in the society. And I thought, well, what if we had an ideal world where you could go ahead and get pregnant and still stay ahead of the game?
Which isn't that ideal, given that there are other countries who do this, who do make it way, way, way more easy for women to have a child and have a job and still be financially independent and be an equal contributor and live her own life.
And a full,
like,
happy
child
life.
Care and have help and financial
right.
help from
these
the government.
More socialist countries, Europe, this kind of thing. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
And so I just wanted to highlight that. And I know this article was almost focused more on this, well, this idea of contraception and really
which is
pushing
important,
it.
But it's like, but you're right. It's like, okay, what if you do want to have a kid, or if you don't want to have an abortion, or, you know what I mean? If you're young and you want to have a kid.
Yeah, I do believe in, right, I do believe in access to contraception in general.
For sure.
But what's funny is I'm also not a user of the birth control pill, for example. And so I also feel like, you know, I read it and I also kind of think, well, where's the contraception for the male population? Like, again, it's kind of this.
Why do I have to fuck my body up with these chemicals and
well,
screw my
alter
my
your hormonal cycle?
Over. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and not really know what the results are. I mean, I remember someone talking about, you know, if you're on birth control pills for too long, like blood clots. I mean, this kind of thing that, you know, yeah, it just still feels very unbalanced, uneven. So I just wanted to kind of point that out.
That's
I don't
a good
know.
Point.
And push for that kind of, you know, that opportunity to not think that your life is over if you have
a
baby.
Little bit. Yeah, okay, let's make contraception available, but let's also make it so that your life isn't over if you happen to get pregnant out of wedlock or partnership with an equal financial partner.
Right.
Or
I thought that was interesting.
That is.
So I think that's our trending topics for tonight. Hashtag trending. You're listening to Pushing Boundaries with TNA. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Tweet us at TA Sex Talk.